subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
Your hosts, listen Mike up. Hicks and Aaron Newton. People are crazy.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, podcast number 46, October the 11th. Tonight we're going to catch up with Aaron, who is somewhere down south. We're going to talk about the win over Missouri. Louisville makes a new hire. And the NCAA announces a committee to oversee what they already should have had control over.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, this is the voice not built for radio, Mike Hicks. And usually to my left, we have KY Crazy Aaron, but Aaron is somewhere else tonight, somewhere down south. Where are you, Aaron?
I'm down here in Orange Beach. If you hold your phone in your left hand, kind of out, I'll still be to your left.
Okay. I think that's how we're going to have to do the show. It might be a little wonky, but we've done it before.
We're in Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, with a lot of other Cat fans. I see a bunch of UK Blue all over the place, so there's several of us down here.
How's the trip been so far? Just getting a lot of R&R? Are you playing hard, or what are you doing?
A little bit of both. I took all the boys, we did some fishing today, and fishing for some redfish. Had a little bit of luck, not a whole lot, but and I'm an old man, so that kind of wore me out. But I'm laying in bed here now watching Yankees game, talking to you on the phone.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, we're recording this while the Yankees game is getting closed out, and of course Aaron's a big Yankees fan, so he's gonna maybe keep us up to date on the score. but you know, by the time you heard this,
we're on the top of the ninth right now.
Okay, well, as always, you can call us on the Blue Phone at 859-780-2287 and find us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies and at KY Crazy Aaron. Well, I had a function that I had to go to on Saturday night. It was a birthday gathering. A bunch of buddies got together. We got out our guitars and we jammed for like 5 hours. And it was a lot of fun. I hadn't done that with my friends for a long time. So, I missed the game. What did you think about the win over Missouri? Of course, we won 40-34. And I was surprised the score was that high. But what were your thoughts on that?
I'm not really surprised that the scoring was that high, because both teams, Missouri is not really a very strong defensive team. Their offense is kind of crazy off the charge, as we talked about last week, but they haven't been scoring a lot of points. They get a lot of yards, but not a lot of points. Well, they finally put it all together against our Cavs in the kind of a weak secondary. I thought we had some pretty poor play, mainly not necessarily the corners, but the safeties, I thought, took a lot of bad angles, a lot of bad reads, and basically got burnt for some huge plays. I think they had 4 or 5 plays of around 50 yards, and that's just way too much.
Well, you know, that moves us to 5-1 overall, and we are just...
That's the main thing.
Yeah, and we're just a point away from being 6-0.
Yeah, a holding call away from 6-0. Yeah, but overall, the offense, you know, basically what we've seen, they'll look like they're unstoppable for a while, and then things change. I don't know if it's the other team making their adjustments or if we become conservative, or you know, but it just seems like it happens to every team. You know, you can't keep doing what you're doing the whole game, and the other teams are going to adjust, so you have to make those other adjustments, and I just... out for so far.
Well, did I hear right that Steven Johnson threw his first interception of the season? Was that right?
I don't know if it was his first, but yes, he did throw an interception. It seemed like he had one. I don't recall. I'd have to look at the stats. I mean, you may be right.
Yeah, he
did throw a bad one. It was a pretty bad one, but you could see when the play first happened live, you thought, oh, it was just a horrible throw, which it was, but you could see on the replay that it was a lot of miscommunication between him and the receiver. The receiver had stopped, and then he took off again. Well, Johnson threw the ball where the receiver was stopped at, and then so it was behind him right to the defender's arms.
Well,
both things happen.
You mentioned how, and it makes a lot of sense, where you get to this point of the season and, you know, teams are going to start, you know, figuring out some of the things that you do. So you're going to have that kind of second layer of go-to plays. And, of course, we don't play Mississippi State until October the 21st. And for those of y'all keeping score at home, that's 4 o'clock Eastern on the SEC Network. What kind of adjustments would you like to see us make so that Mississippi State doesn't figure out, you know, what we're going to do?
Well, one thing that's already seems to be in the works from what we were told is they're putting a lot more in for Lynn Bowden, who we've talked about, and I think in every podcast that we've done. You know, he was named SEC Freshman of the Week last week for just a minimal amount of opportunities for him. But, he made a huge play, another play that should have maybe been a loss. He breaks free from a tackle and ends up with a big first down. I believe it was a first down. You know, just a huge run. Now, the kid is just, like we've said before, he's electric. You got to find a way to get the ball in his hands no matter where he's at. You know, little screen passes or running out of the wildcat, we've seen that, or just some reverses, but the ball's got to find a way to get in his hands. So that was a big thing for him, the player of the week as a freshman. And they do, like I said, they do say they're putting some more packages in for him for the rest of the season. You know, a bye week, you can do things like that. Throw in, because you've got 2 weeks of practice, you can throw some wrinkles in, do some things that you that nobody's seen before.
What can we expect out of Mississippi State? You know, what style do they play? What can we expect out of them moving forward?
Well, Mississippi State's always been a team that's, for some reason, has given us fits, no matter, you know, it's not really a rivalry game, I don't guess you'd say, but it's become one of those games that no matter how teams coming, you know, either team coming in, what the record shows, it's going to be a battle. In the past, they've been a heavy running team. You know, they had Dak Prescott there a couple years ago, which, you know, he ran a lot, he threw a lot. He was a phenomenal player, and he's playing for my Cowboys now. They still throw the ball around. I mean, they're a pretty balanced team. They put a whipping on LSU, which was a huge win for them. Then they turn around, and they've been blown out here in their last couple games. So they're a team that we don't really know what to expect from them. Like I said, when they beat LSU, everybody was ready to throw them up there in the rankings and expected more out of them. Then they laid a couple eggs since then.
This could be just a massive win for us, just from a record standpoint. We haven't been 6-1 in forever, you know. So
that sixth win is always what, you know, nowadays every team wants, because you're bowl eligible with six wins, you know. So everything after that is just better bowl, better bowl, better bowl. So we could possibly be going into Georgia with a chance to upset Georgia for the lead in the SEC East, which would be huge. You know, Georgia is one of the top two or three teams in the country right now. And we're playing them at Georgia, so that's not a game I would expect to win. But still, going into that game, I believe it would be 9-1 going to Georgia. That's a huge step for Kentucky football.
Absolutely, and with all kinds of confidence on our side, you know, so why not? Let's go in there with at least, you know, let's beat them, you know.
Yeah, I kind of go back to the slogan that Stoops threw out there a few years ago, why not? You know, why not us? And we use it. I think it still fits for now. Why not us? Why can't Kentucky be that team that steps in there fills that void that, that Florida and Tennessee are kind of dropping out of right now.
Yeah, great point. How are the Yankees doing right now?
The Yankees have a runner on second. One out. Haley's up to bat.
Still up one?
Still up one, yes.
Okay. Everybody else is down at the hot tub right now?
Yeah, everybody's kind of soothing their bones and their sore muscles from the all the activity we've been doing this week. And it's, sometimes you need a vacation from a vacation.
I'm going to switch gears here real quick before we take a break. There was some news today that Louisville made a hire for an assistant coach, and it's pretty remarkable what's transpired over here, you know, over there in the last just couple of weeks. You've got a 31-year-old running practice and two mid-20-year-olds who are video coordinators as the assistant coaches right now. And that's just pretty remarkable for one of the bigger programs in the country. We like to call them little brother, but historically they're, you know, top 10 for sure. And, I mean, they have dropped off just from that standpoint so fast. But, excuse me, they hired Trent Johnson today as an assistant coach, a 61-year-old former head coach that has been a head coach at Nevada, Stanford, LSU, and most recently at TCU. And, you know, he hasn't really excelled anywhere, so I'm okay with the hire.
We remember him at LSU, and it's typical of LSU and every coach they've had. They seem to get some great talent, some great players, and not a coach to coach them.
Yeah, he's had 17 years of coaching experience, so I guess just because of the nature, we talked about it last week, about how this has been the timing of it. You know, not only is it a horrible situation as far as the FBI investigation and all that, but it's bad timing because there's nobody really available to kind of fill in the space. So there's, you know, David Padgett to do that, and now they've got somebody who was available, Trent Johnson, to jump in as an assistant coach. He does have that experience, you know, but it's nothing to write home about as far as overwhelming success or anything like that.
Yeah, well, little bit of a step down, so and like I said, I think I'm okay with that.
I'm okay, and you know, I've said this before, I'll say it again, I know it's kind of against the grain, or kind of against the popular vote, if you will, or whatever. Everybody wants the rivalry to be really good, and it's exciting when it's that way, you know, when Rick was there, when Crum was there, of course, but I kind of like it when they're not very good. It just makes it a lot easier to, that game coming up, well, you know, it's not a big of a deal, and whenever they're playing North Carolina or Duke, I know they're going to lose. When they play Tulane, they might lose that one, too. I like that a lot better.
It's kind of been fun with Indiana not being very good for a while, and I'm kind of looking forward to Carolina or Duke not being very good for a while.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of the opposite of that. You know, I mean, I agree with you. The popular thought is, you know, we want the great teams to be great, and it's like, no, I want to be the great team and everybody else can suck.
Yeah.
All right.
Do have one more football note, real quick. Jordan Jones, who has been out for, I believe it's been 3 games now, he finally came back to practice this week, and he does look like he'll be able to go for the Mississippi State game in 2 weeks. So that's been a big key that we've been missing, our best defender, hands down, in the on the defensive side. So, and we've held our own without him, so it'd be great to get him back.
Absolutely, that is good news. And of course, once again, that game's coming up on October the 21st, 4:00 Eastern on the SEC Network. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit NBA news with the Cats, and then this crazy NCAA stuff. We'll be right back.
KentuckyCrazies.com.
Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Okay, we're back. Of course, KY Crazy Aaron is down south on taking a vacation. And do you have any brain sandwiches down there, Aaron?
Not down here. Been sticking mainly to the seafood varieties. Had some red fish tonight, which is a delicious fish. If you've never had it, you need to try that.
Red fish?
Yeah.
They have any blue fish?
There probably is.
Well, I was going to tell you, while you were enjoying your redfish, I was able to watch Malik Monk tonight. Last night, he had 18 points, and tonight, they were down pretty substantially, and he pretty much brought them right back himself. Ended up with 21 points, and I forget his other numbers, but he had, you know, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, somewhere in that range, and really just...
I think that Cal was always getting on his about the rebounding and the assists, but... And things that we saw that he could do, but I guess when you're a pro, you get paid to do those things, huh?
Well, you know, it helps when you got guys around. Well, I mean, he played with pros last year, too, but we needed his scoring big time last year. And he just looked like a pro's pro out there with all the other players. And, you know, Jeff Van Gundy was going on saying he's going to be one of the league's prolific scorers in a couple, 2 or 3 years. He was, you know, putting him in the top shelf of the league scorers, and he just looked so comfortable out there. It was amazing.
We thought the same would happen with Jamal Murray, but he hasn't quite found his form yet. But I did see that Bam, he had a pretty good game today. I think he had 15 points. He's coming into his own as well, we hope.
And of course, this is a hilarious little broken record here, but Lonzo Ball, well, he seems to tweak his ankle every time De'Aaron Fox is getting ready to come up, man. And it happened again last night. Ball did not play because of an injury to his ankle, but lo and behold, tonight, Ball started. So, what's going on there?
I guess he gets these little alerts on his phone. He probably has De'Aaron, one of his favorites on his phone, so he gets notifications on De'Aaron.
Hey, Coach, I just twinked my ankle. I got a notification on my phone that De'Aaron Fox is coming up. I mean, he's got to, at some point, play against the guy. I mean, that's what you're getting paid for now, you know?
It may cost him a lot of money playing against him.
Well, if you play for Louisville, you get paid to do that anyway, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's been fun to watch. It's, you know, still preseason NBA, but, you know, our Cats are looking good so far. And anymore...
DeAndre Liggins?
Yeah, with the Heat.
Yeah, fine with the Heat.
It makes your head spin just to... I used to be able to rattle off just about every player on what team they're on, but in part because they get traded so much these days, but we just keep adding, you know, 3 to 5 players every year, and it's just kind of hard to remember, oh, yeah, he's... you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist plays with, you know... Same team as... No... He's with Monk, right? With the Hornets? Talking about Kidd Gilchrist? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to do that next show, see if we can rattle through all that. I'm not prepared mentally right now to go through it, but...
Yeah, you know, I'd have to think about it, but DeAndre Liggins may be the oldest cat we have in the league right now.
Well, of course, Najee was for so long. And he was probably one of the oldest players in the league, but, well, Rondo.
Oh, yeah, there you go, Rondo.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo. We'll have to do a little research on that, but it seems like Rondo would be the longest tenured cat. I want to touch on this just kind of briefly. The NCAA announced today that they are forming a commission on college basketball. It's a committee that will try to fix the problems that they've had recently in the wake of the bribery scandal and all that. You know, basically, they're going to form a committee to try to fix the things that they should have already been overseeing anyway. And it goes back to my philosophy that I've had for years and years. No matter what side of the aisle you might be on or no aisle at all, but the way the government works, it seems like, you know, it takes forever to get anything done. And it's what I call a buddy system. It's who you know, not really necessarily what you know. And it's just a big buddy system. And I've always kind of used that analogy when it comes to the NCAA. And so I always make the joke, well, let's form a committee and have meetings and discuss it. That's a long way of saying we're not going to get anything done. Or,
oh.
And or, we're going to still help our buddies that are friends of the people that are on the committee. Like, what's your knee-jerk reaction before we get into some of the names on this committee?
Well, the first thing is Dick Vitale should be leading this commission, for one thing. But again, they've waited too long to act, basically. These are things that should have been done. I mean, I think the committee is, I mean, the NCAA should be able to handle this themselves. I mean, good Lord, that's what they're there for. But it seems like, I don't know where the problem is. You know, how can North Carolina get away with what they did for decades and still nothing has happened as far as that, as far as the punishment? You know, how can these things happen? To me, it just seems common sense.
Well, again, you know, there's no particular proof here, but it's just connecting the dots a little bit where it's because, you know, certain people are in certain positions, and it seems like they're the ones that are protected. It's very bizarre to me. Condoleezza Rice was chosen as the chair. So it actually brings home my longstanding analogy of government and NCAA kind of acting the same way. Well, now we've got somebody that's, you know, been in government for years and years and years heading this commission. And I was like,
I believe that she, I'm not sure she still is, but I believe she was one of the originals on the football when the football went to the playoff system. She was on that committee or whatever you want to call it as far as voting for the final playoff teams in college football. So I'm not sure when she became such a sports genius, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, because, you know, when you think college basketball, the first thing you think of is Condoleezza Rice, you know.
Well, it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
And college basketball, Condoleezza Rice.
I want to kind of skip through some of these names, but I want to give some positions as well. Of course, under her, you got Mark Emmert, who's already the NCAA head. So, to me, this, again, is just we messed up or we've covered stuff up or whatever it is that's going on. So, let's form a committee to either extend, you know, delay any decisions or to continue to protect the people that we want to protect. So, you got Rice at the top. Then you got Mark Emmert, who's already the head of the NCAA, you know, sitting there with her. And then, basically, position-wise, you've got attorneys. You got Grant Hill, former Dukie. You got John Thompson. Not necessarily, you know, not somebody I'd want on there, quite frankly. And then you've got somebody who's the president of the Georgia Institute of Technology, somebody by the name of GP Bud Peterson. Okay? Again, college basketball, first thing I think of is the president of Georgia Institute of Technology. Now, granted, these people are going to be looking into some things that aren't, you know, X's and O's. I understand that, and I get that. They've got Grant Hill and John Thompson, basketball people on this committee. But when you look at these positions, you've got a bunch of attorneys. I don't trust any kind of committee because they're going to end up protecting the people they're already going to protect. And then, of course, you've got Reverend John Jenkins from University of Notre Dame. So that's interesting, right?
Yeah, I guess Duke is a Catholic school, so I guess they had to. They already have Grant Hill, so I'm not sure what else they need.
Well, we're just looking, you know, this list is new to us. I haven't actually researched all these people, but it's going to be interesting. I'm going to look into some of these names and look a little bit into their background because, again, that's what happens. You look at any committee in any small town or big city or in Washington, D.C., they're going to protect the people they want to protect. We're going to give this guy grant money because we know who he is, you know, that kind of stuff. So it just kind of ruffled my feathers. But again, it kind of backed up my bigger theory, which was, again, government operates just like the NCAA operates. So why not bring in Condoleezza Rice, right? All right, well, Aaron, I don't want to keep you from... What's the Yankees doing now?
Let's see. It's still 3-2. Two outs. Full. Runners on first and second.
Bottom of the ninth, or...?
He just hit a single to the right field, and Yankees got another run in, 4-2. Big insurance. Oh, bad throw in the second, and Todd Frazier just scored.
Okay.
Two big runs.
Okay.
5-2.
So it was the top of the ninth. All right, looks like the Yankees may move on then. All right, well, you got anything before we head out of here?
No, not really. I've just been enjoying the sun down here and sunny Alabama. We got down here just right after the Hurricane Nate came through. We got down here Sunday evening. Drove through some heavy, heavy rain. And apparently everything down here withheld. I guess they have a good foundation down here. I'm sure they're used to these hurricanes coming through. But it's been a good time. We've seen a lot of blue.
All right, awesome. And I want to give a couple of shout-outs here. I want to thank all of our listeners. We've been moving up the Podomatic College Sports Charts national rankings. We went as high as number 4 this past week, and we've sustained around, you know, rank 5th through about 8th or 9th at this point. But we've really moved up the charts, and we want to thank everybody that listens and shares, whether it's on iTunes or the Podomatic or on the Facebook. You know, please share, tell friends about us. And we also want to give a shout out to our listeners in Uganda. We actually had 4 listens in Uganda last week, and I don't have the list in front of me right now. We had a few other countries as well, but we found that to be pretty awesome. So whoever you are in Uganda, thanks for listening, right?
And call in on the blue phone. We'd like to hear from Uganda.
Yeah, absolutely. 859-780-2287. And that goes for everybody out there that's listening. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put you on the show. And so, Cats don't play this weekend. And, how times have changed. We've got Big Blue Madness coming up Friday night. So,
How about that?
We get another look at our Cats.
We're a football school now.
Yeah, we're a football school. We did almost a whole show on football. But we'll have plenty to talk about basketball.
Let's give a mention to the volleyball team as well. I believe they're up to, I can't remember what the ranking just was.
Number 3, I think.
I think it was number, they were high. I think their RPI ranking is maybe number 2. They have a big match coming up with Florida, I believe, who is undefeated. So the volleyball team, man, they're getting some stuff done.
Yeah, that's... awesome, and they're always on the SEC Network on ESPN2, some on Sundays. Check them out, and Big Blue Madness is coming up Friday night, and we cannot wait for that. And like I said, we have plenty to talk about.
And they already have put out the warning that they're going to have to talk instead of us just being able to watch it.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard about that, ESPN has already stated that because of copyright issues with music, they're going to have to talk over some of the parts where the entertainment or the players are going to be doing stuff because of the music.
Player introductions and such.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last year some, but that's basically Disney not wanting to pay other companies for the rights to the music. So if you're a Disney artist, they're going to let you be on there because ESPN's ran by Disney. So, but at least we get to see the Cats some, and we'll hear about all the details that we don't see. We got to listen to NCAA talking heads, but... it's about time to get the hoops going. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, well, go Cats.
Go Cats. Go Yankees.
Till the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KentuckyCrazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my sickness.